Thank you very much. Mr. Tauber, Mr. Klaus, my friend, and Ms. Alvin, I thank you for welcoming us to Berlin and to this dialogue. There is a conception that family planning is about a medical intervention. It is not. We must see family planning as the greatest intervention for the empowerment of women. And I think it's a rights issue. It's not just an issue of fertility regulation. It is the ability of a woman to take charge of her body and her life. And if you'd followed the progress of the MDGs, at the very beginning, when they were promulgated, the sexual reproductive health was not part of it in 2000. We must always remind ourselves of it. And I think it's important to put that out there because the opposition to the issues of SRHR actually had started at that time. And so the issue of family planning, for instance, was not in there. It took us 7 years to get it into the MDGs. And so our fight is a continuous fight, and we must realize that the issue of power between men and women, and I like Ms. Oven when she was talking about it, it is really about men trying to control women and trying to control their bodies and decide what to do with them or not. And I think we have to understand that. So as the global community defines a new development framework for the next 15, 20 years, we must build on the progress that we have made, particularly reaching the poorest, the most vulnerable, and the most marginalized girls in the world. The overall gains don't tell the story of the excluded, the story of a young girl married at 10 to a man four times her age, a child whose human rights, dignity, and bodily integrity is brutally violated, whose childhood is cruelly ended. In fact, she doesn't exist. In our world, that girl is gone. She is not registered anywhere. And she tends to then end up getting pregnant at 11 and probably developing a fistula. Let's put this 10-year-old girl at the middle of our conversation. How do we think that in the next development agenda is this 10-year-old who will be the driver of change? Because if we are developing something for 15 years and we want the world to change and we want that world to be able to provide for people, it is that 10-year-old who should be the center of it. Because by the time we end 15 years from now, she'll be 25. And so she will be in a position to benefit from all of the thinking that we do corporately in terms of health services, education, human rights, agenda, and all of that. And I think that as you follow me through this conversation, that's what I want you to think about. Because our future is totally inextricably linked to the future of the world. She's the one who's going to provide the solutions for climate change. She's the one who's going to provide solutions for agriculture, food security. She's the one who's going to provide solutions for healthcare. And those things which had eluded us in the past, that's where solutions will come from. But we need to empower her, and we need to give her all she wants and all she needs to do this. In empowering her, we also must address the issue of human rights. You know, human rights is something which continues to elude us because people think political rights all the time. No, it is about social rights of people. The people being able to be who they are, wherever they may be, and living their lives as human beings. That is the most contentious thing today. I listen to people and I listen to colleagues, particularly from the South, and they talk about development without, they say, we don't want rights, we want development. And I ask them, what does that mean? You cannot have development without rights. And we're not talking now of political rights, we're talking of rights, indivisibility of rights. So the ability of a young girl to go to school, the ability of a young girl not to be married off at 10, her ability to access education, information and health services, to decide if she wants contraception or not, her ability to choose a career, to marry who she wants to marry, her ability to decide how many children she wants to have or not have, her ability to hold a job and be part of a growing economy. We must ring fence that. Those are the rights we're talking about. And all of us must work hard to do that. But you know, all of this requires great investments. Great investments in education to be able to pick up skills, entrepreneurship, to be able to decide what to do with themselves. That's what's going to change the world. So we need new investments. And those investments have to come from everybody. You know, the consideration as we move on and as we talk about the next development agenda and we talk about the 17 goals that have been set and we talk about what needs to be done, the means of implementation is also the responsibility of all of us. Now, it cannot be the old order where some countries give to others. It has to be everybody giving to everybody else. Developing countries must step up on their domestic resources, and they must accept that if you want to develop a egalitarian society, you have to invest. We have big fights on our hands. Today, there are 17 goals. 17 goals that have been proposed for the post-2015. They have now been passed as a resolution of the General Assembly. But there is a pushback to try and reduce the goals. In those goals, there are two targets. And I can tell you, it was a big fight to get two targets. One target that speaks to sexual reproductive health services and talks to family planning. There's a goal that talks to the rights of people. But even that is also, it has all kinds of caveats around it. But I take it that is progress, because we were not even going to have any of those targets in the goals. It wasn't going to happen. But we got it. We also succeeded somehow, I think, because it was 12 midnight, between the 22nd and 23rd of September, we got the General Assembly to accept, I don't think they know what has hit them, that all the things we've done with the ICPD till now, and all of the regional conferences and the recommendations therewith, are the things that is going to shape what we are going to do going forward. I think when they start reading it, they will understand it. And when they do understand, they will fight back. And I can tell you that. So, we have a fight on our hands. 2015 is going to be very crucial. So I challenge you that 10-year-old is what you must focus on. That 10-year-old could actually be in a country like Burkina Faso that is fighting today, or in Bhutan, or in Bangladesh. Indeed, it could be, because the 2015 agenda is now universal, it could actually be in a slum in Berlin. And I want us to understand that. The challenges we face now is not just about poor and rich. It's not about geography. It's about that person who requires us to build an egalitarian society, a just society based on human rights, and the human rights of people to be who they have to be. So I want you all to join hands with us. I've always said the ICPD agenda is what we hold in custody for all of you. So it doesn't belong to the NFPA. But as we develop it, as we take it beyond 2014, and as we locate it in the post-2015 development agenda, let's mature it, let it be more robust so that we can serve humanity and give dignity to everybody. I thank you.